World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I don't say this very often. I wasn't looking forward to coming down and doing today's show. May 1st, that makes me happy. Finally made it to May. Yesterday is unbelievable. We had a beautiful sunny day. It got, I think, almost to 70. It's going to be beautiful today. So I've got all the reasons in the world to be excited about today's show, but I'm not very excited about it because I don't want to go where I know I got to go today. I've been fighting, kicking against the pricks on this one for quite a while, but I just, you know, I don't know how it is with you. I got a lot of red on today. But hang on a minute. Hang on. Let's go a little bit of blue. Let's blue it up here a little bit today. Some things I can't get away from, you know, like, yep, I've had a sore knee, since way back in mid-March, really sore. Like, I might have done something to a cartilage or something in my knee when I was getting ready to go to Dallas. We hear the watchman. I was carrying some stuff up steps and I stepped the wrong way and I felt it right away. And yesterday was the first day. It's been almost, what, 5-6 weeks since I really felt like I was able to exercise. And when I got up this morning, I was reminded again, ooh, that's sore. That little spot's sore. That's what I feel like this morning. I come down here again. It's, ooh, that spot's sore. Do I have to rub that, Lord? Do I have to, Lord, if there's any other way, I'd rather not have to rub on that one. But I think I'm going to have to rub on it today. So ask for your peace and your grace and your, just going to try to tell you the way I see it. And I want to make this really clear. I say this every couple of weeks. I don't care what you believe. Okay. You don't have to believe what I believe. This is not a one size fits all program. And I'm sorry if sometimes my mannerisms, the way I do my show, I'm sorry if it comes across as, what would be the word, brash, know-it-all, assertive, aggressive, crude, crass. Pick whatever word you want to. I wouldn't fit very often. I'm not a pastor. I want you to think about this a minute. I was a great coach. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. What's a coach do? He coaches people. Yes, I did coach girls basketball. Took a girls basketball team to the Final Four in the state in 1984. So I can coach boys and I can coach girls. Okay, I can do both. Pastoring is coaching. Except, how come you can't have a pastor act like a coach? How come if a coach, I'm going to tell you this, if a coach acted like a pastor, the team would get creamed. You get creamed. Can't do that. Because part of being a coach is you have to know when to tear the horses down and when to build the horses up. Sometimes you got to be harsh and critical and judgmental and in your face and harsh. You can't do that as a pastor, ever. You can never, ever do that as a pastor. So I wouldn't make it as a pastor. I don't think. I'd make it as an evangelist. I could come in every once in a while and blow some hot air and people like it. As soon as they can get me out the door, they're happy. So this isn't about, you have to agree with me, because there are a lot of, when I was coaching football, there were a lot of daddies thought their boy should be quarterback. But the good thing was, that wasn't their decision to make. It was my decision. Now, they got to decide what their son ate at home at the table, where he went to school, and where he went to church, what kind of car. They got to do all that stuff. But when they stepped on our playing field, I was the coach. I made the rules. So here on in the huddle, the same thing. You're welcome to bring whatever you want to, but I make the rules, okay? And listen, you're free to disagree. I don't claim to be right. I said I ask questions. I lay things on the table that might make you uncomfortable. And I don't know if you've ever heard me ever say, this is the truth and you have to follow. Well, I probably do that on some issues. But what I'm going to talk about today, what we're going to talk about today doesn't include that. But before I get there, David Arthur, fill us in a little bit there if you can, man, on what's going on up in Maine this weekend. Maine. Wow, I'm going to be in Maine. I love Maine.
Yeah, well, there, David? Let's just hope that the 60s come back because right now it's 30. But, Coach, we have a lot going on this weekend. From Saturday and Sunday, the Man Up Conference is not a men's-only conference. I just posted the schedule on the I Belong Amen Ministries Facebook page. Of course, we're going to have Coach Dave speaking, Pastor Salt Ministries. We're going to have Dr. Scott Lively coming, the author of Redeeming the Rainbow and Pink Swastika. He's also running for governor this year in Massachusetts. I'm going to present, we have Diane Splitz coming to represent Mass Resistance, and she'll be giving a powerful personal testimony of her own battle with the public school system and the state with her own child. We have a live ministries, Chris Kane. He's going to be bringing a message Sunday morning just before Diane Splitz presents. We have Channels of Blessings, Reggae Christian Band. They're phenomenal. And we also have Carolyn that's coming to bless us with the gift that God has given her, with the voice that God has given her. And so
it ain't about entertainment, though. We're not having them come here to be entertained, right?
That's right.
If it's just to entertain them, I ain't coming. If it's just to entertain, I ain't coming.
Right. The whole purpose of the conference, Coach, obviously, is since it's a man and woman to come to get as much truth and to be empowered, to be able to stand up and speak out. You know, that's what we need. We need to know how Diane Splitz handled the state and the school board at the same time when they tried to brainwash her son.
I'm with you.
So it is just going to be a phenomenal weekend. We start at 3 p.m. on Saturday, and we're going until Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning, 9 a.m. And then after the service, we're going to have brunch, fellowship, and then everybody can depart from there.
Cool. Hey, Chad, are you with us? I'm looking for Chad over here in the queue. I don't see him. Chad's got a big Texas event going on down there in Texas this weekend. You there, Chad? Tell us about it, Chad.
All right. Well, we're going to have our regional meeting this weekend, May 4, 5, and 6, 7 p.m. on Friday. We have a cookout for any newcomers that want to show up. If you're not able to make it there on Friday, we understand. So we'll kick off at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And we got a bunch of festivities and stuff, spiritual warfare and prayer lined up. And probably talking about out of Romans this week. And then we got a Sunday we'll do communion, and I think we got a couple of baptisms.
Going to do some baptisms. Awesome. Hopefully a lot of them will get baptized. Yeah, a lot of them. We have several people when we do these events who like to be baptized. They say, you know, I was baptized when I was 12 years old, but I didn't really get it, and it's more meaningful to me now. So we baptize them again. So Chad's going to do some baptisms at his event. Chad, anybody down there in the Texas area is welcome to come. In fact, you said you have a guy coming from El Paso, which is, what, 9 hours away, Chad? Is that right?
Yeah, nine-hour drive. He's coming with his son. And I just want to encourage anybody around the area, if you're going to come, please beat me so I know, you know, and bring a chair, please.
Bring a chair.
My email is texas@saltandlightbrigade.org. So please email me so we know. I got a head count. I think I'm close to 30 right now.
Awesome. Wow. Hey, listen, Chad, maybe I can make it down for the next one. I've been to the events at Chad's house, and they're really, really, if you're in that area, they're really worth going to. I can't make it this weekend, but maybe next time I'll try to get down there. Not that that matters, but I like to I like to look everybody in the eye, man. I like to get to meet all the people and encourage them to stand up and be what it is that they need to be. So thanks, Chad. That's this weekend. You can find more. If you're confused and don't know what's going on, you can just email me and I'll connect you here with Chad. Cool. All good. Haven't heard anything. Haven't really heard anything from Rusty Thomas other than, they did drain the lungs, or the process of draining the lungs went well yesterday, or at least the process of getting the tubes in there. I've not heard any updates. Dale, any updates this morning at all?
I have not heard anything. I just was kind of giving them the day. It looks like the family just kind of stepped away.
It looked good. It looked good. It did look good. Yeah, and Flip was down there, and it was all good. So we keep them in prayer. And, you know, man, this being a Christian thing, the devil's really sowing a lot of confusion. I mean, that's what I want to talk about this morning. He has sown so much confusion. The scripture tells us that because we rejected the truth, that's in 2 Thessalonians. You don't have to go there, Jared. That because we've rejected the truth, that the Lord himself would send a strong delusion, we would believe a lie. And we just kind of read that. Again, Mark Trump's not on here. I don't know if he is. That's data. It's just data. Strong delusion that we would believe a lie. In other words, false data, I think. He'd send us false data and we'd believe it. And I think the church is, we're so, so confused. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong. Bear with me. Hang on a minute. Look at me. Will you quit taking yourself so damn serious? Sorry I used that word. Will you quit taking yourself so serious? Why do you always have to be right? I'm talking to you. Relax. Relax. Believe what you want to believe. I'd rather, as I said before, I'd rather be right. No, I'd rather know the truth than be right. Bear with me. So confused. When do you worship? What day do you do it on? Are you allowed to eat shellfish? Not allowed to eat shellfish? Can you eat pork? Not allowed to eat pork? Can you grow a beard? Not wear a beard? Can you have your clothes down below your knees? Not above your knees? Can women wear pants? Can women teach? Can they on and on and on? Do you submerge? Do you sprinkle? Do you speak in tongues? You don't speak in tongues? Is there a rapture? Is there not a rapture? Well, I think if we really got down to it on the bare essentials would probably be about four or five different things. But we don't concentrate on the bare essentials. We focus on everything else. The devil has done a masterful job of getting us to major on the minors. It says in Timothy, foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strife. Okay? I've been fighting whether I was going to talk about this. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to jump in with it. People are popping messages up here, and can I say this? I can, because it's my show. Boy, here come the tomatoes. God's promise to Israel is God's promise. It's not in the United States. It's not our promise. I don't have any promise to Israel. I'm sorry, I don't have it. It's not the United States of Israel. This is not the United States of America and Israel. It's the United States of America. And I was thinking just the other, I hear you out there. I was thinking just the other day, I was thinking about, man, oh man, would we be in nearly the conflicts around the world if we just got out of the Middle East? We just got out of there. Would we be worrying about Syria and whether a bomb went off in Syria? And I'm going to say this, and cause this is, how can I believe Netanyahu? I couldn't believe Barack Obama. Why? How could I believe our president would be dishonest? Oh, wait a minute. I don't believe everything our president says. Why would I believe everything Netanyahu says?
Right.
And they put Netanyahu up there. Netanyahu says something, and well, hey, he said it. We got to believe it. And I'm scratching my head, and I'm thinking, what is all this stuff? And see, if it wasn't the theological debate about Israel and the regathering of the Jews, if it wasn't all that, if that wasn't the central part of our foreign policy, we wouldn't even be in Israel.
Amen.
Now, I know, amen. And I'm not here to bash Israel.
That's not what it's about, no.
It's not what it's about. It's about truth. And I'm not here to bash the Holocaust, because as soon as you start talking about the Holocaust, there comes that anti-Semitic word. And so nobody wants to go there, because most people care what people think about them. And I care what people think about them. I care more about truth. I care about more truth. Folks, there were more Christians killed in the Second World War than Jews.
Right.
60 million Christians were killed. And I'm not making light of the Holocaust, and I'm not being a Holocaust denier. Well, is there something wrong? Oh, boy, how do I say this, Lord? Is it okay to slaughter a Christian, but if a Jew gets slaughtered, oh, my goodness, all the world has to notice? I'm just asking a question here.
Well, Coach, I'll answer. Life is life, and no one life is more important than any other life.
That's right. That's right. Well, how about this? Okay, Lord, I'm going to go there today. Hey, folks, Jews aren't even saved.
Amen,
if you're a practicing Jew, you are not
Amen.
Saved. You are not saved. You understand that, friends? That Jews in America and Jews in Israel are not saved. They're just as lost as any other Italian, German. There's debate as to whether Jews are a race, a religion, part of that confusion. So I thought today, just to make it easy on all of us, Jared, I thought maybe let's go to John 8. Can we go to John 8 this morning? Hey, guys, you can jump in here at any time. Some of you will tune out because you just don't want to hear this. You just don't want to hear this, okay? Oh, my goodness. This is kind of long. It's okay if I read, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Let's try this here, okay? Jesus went, I'm in John 8. Lord, am I in the right spot here? Yes. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. I like that. He sat down and taught it. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. So here are the religious folk. Anytime you hear scribes and Pharisees, the religious system, they brought a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us, the law of Moses, okay? The law of Moses. Stay with me. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stumbled. What do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard him not. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. So we use that to say we're not to be critical of each other. Don't judge hypocritically. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went one by one, beginning at the eldest and even unto the last. And Jesus left them alone. They went to the woman. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, there aren't any. He says, okay, then go and sin no more. Because the law required witnesses. There weren't any witnesses. Jesus said, okay, no witnesses. I'm not going to condemn you. But you notice what he said. I don't know if he did it or not, he said, but go and don't you do it anymore. If you were, stop doing it. Stay with me. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees, therefore, they heard that. They didn't like that too well. And they said, you bear record of yourself. And your record's not true. You're a liar, the Pharisees say to him. And Jesus said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record's true, for I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going. But you cannot tell when I came, whence I came, and when. You don't know where I came from. You don't know where I'm gone. You judge after the flesh, Jesus said. Flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment's true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. And the Father that sent me, he's the two witnesses. There we are. We agree. We bear witness. Isn't it interesting? He didn't stone the woman because there wasn't a witness. Following this? Then said he unto them, time out, who is them? Who's he talking to? I want to make sure you get it. Somebody help me. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to everybody? Everybody around him? He's talking to the religious leaders. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he continues to speak to them. Stay with me. Then they said to them, where's your father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father, he tells the Pharisees. If he had known me, he should have also known my father. Jesus talking to the religious, the Jewish leaders, the Hebrew leaders. The word spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again to them, hey, boys, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Who's he talking to, Serge? Who's he talking to?
Pharisees.
And who were they?
Religious leaders.
Of the temple. Okay, thank you. Well, I'm going, you can't come, he says. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, whither I go, you cannot go? And he said unto them, listen, boys, you are from beneath. Wow. I'm from above. You're of this world. I ain't of this world. Anybody following this but me? I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Who's he speaking to? Everybody?
Nope.
Talking to these religious leaders, right?
Yes.
And then they said unto him, oh, yeah, big dude, well, who do you think you are? And Jesus said unto them, verse 25, well, I'm the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him. And then these religious leaders understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Stay with me. Verse 28. Then Jesus said unto them, hey, guys, who's them? Who's he talking to? I'm sorry. I want you to keep perspective here, all right? Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Amen.
And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now they're really getting mad. Then Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, he says, okay, boys, here you go. You got to continue my word. If you do that, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. Cool, right? Good.
Yeah.
They answered him, we're Jews. We're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How can you say that? How can you say you make us free? Who's he speaking to? All right, stay with me. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Look at this. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in your heart. Serge, who's he speaking to?
The religious leaders.
I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your father. Two different daddies.
Amen.
They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, oh yeah? If you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham.
That's it.
But now you seek to kill me. The man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Abraham didn't do that. You do the deeds of your father. Who's he speaking to, Serge? Just making sure we're on the same page. Then said they to him, Then they get mad and say, what are you talking about? We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, huh, boys, if God were your daddy, you'd love me.
Amen.
For I came forth from him. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Third, you ready?
They don't have the same. Here's their dad.
Hey, you know who he's talking to, right?
Yeah.
He says, hey, boys, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil.
The devil.
And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And by the way, he's your daddy.
Who?
And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Fellas, this is so clear. You therefore hear them not. Look at this. You don't hear them. Why? Because that ain't your daddy. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, shall we not well? Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and you have a devil? Samaritan, a non-believer. The religious folks say, you're not of the God. You're a non-believer. You're of the devil, they say. And Jesus said, I don't have a devil. I honor my Father. And you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There's one that seeketh and judgeth. And verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, all right, buddy, now we know you do have a devil. Abraham's dead, the prophet, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who died made you boss, they say to him. Jesus said, well, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you don't know him, but I know him. And if I should say, I don't know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. And your father Abraham is rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hey, boys, before Abraham was, I am. Then took up the stones to cast at him. So Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Amen.
Somebody jump in here. Throw me a rope.
I have never put the two sections of Scripture together before, but man, what an object lesson here. Those high priests and those religious leaders were claiming that, oh, they were connected to God. They were the...
Well, that works.
Now,
it works. Good.
And they were saying, just like the people in Matthew chapter 7, Lord, Lord, when they're speaking to Jesus on Judgment Day, Lord, Lord, that's the same condition, that's the same situation, just as those religious leaders were truly the sons of Satan. There's a whole lot of people going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles? Didn't we do all kinds of stuff? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. Go to hell. I didn't know you. That's scary.
Hang on just a second, George. Go ahead, George. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Larry just said spiritually they were sons, the religious leaders were sons of Satan, right, which we all agree on. But
Jesus
who
said,
were they
George,
sons?
George, I didn't say that. Jesus said that.
Yes, yes, right. The word says that. But genealogically, whose sons were they? See, there's also, just like each one of us have our genes traced back to wherever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, genealogically, they were sons of Esau. They came from Babylon and brought all that false religion. And what did God say? God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So we see both spiritually and genealogically that they had a bad, bad seed.
George, I hate to bust the bubble, but they were not children of Esau. They were of the tribe of Levi, the religious leaders, the priests. They were of the tribe of Levi, and they did not descend from Esau.
I want to go back to Coach's first point, and that these guys, what Coach was trying to bring, I believe, right from the get-go, these men, these Pharisaical people, they knew the Word of God. They had studied the Scriptures. They could quote the entire Torah word for word. They split it. They strained at camels and swallowed gnats. Like Coach is saying, they get so in-depth in their theologies that they missed Christ. And so many people today divide themselves. They bent into the studies. And I'm not saying study is bad. Don't get me wrong. That they're missing God.
Amen.
Okay, so Amen. So Jesus said, one of the charges, I don't have it in front of me. Thanks, Dale. You clarify. Sometimes you clarify it better than me. Jesus made it very, very clear. When speaking to the Pharisees, he says, you teach as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. I don't have that right in front of me. You're talking about a religious system. Jesus is talking about a religious system. 1 John 3:8 says that for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest. In other words, here's why Jesus came. First, can you go there real quick, Jared? 1 John 3:8. Thanks, Jared. Okay, 1 John 3. Hey, Jared, let's start at 1. Let's start at 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So whoever abideth in him doesn't sin. And whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteously is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Goes on and on. And what does Jesus say at the end when they crucify him? It is finished. It is finished. What's finished? The works of the devil are conquered. Right. It's finished. Yes, Roger.
Hey, look at verse 3:9. I want a little better understanding of that verse, if you could give it to me or other men. Where it says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Now, my understanding is we're fallen and there is sin nature, but tell me that verse, help me a little bit, because that would just say to me, reading quickly, something I don't know if I'm comfortable with, because...
Well, it's because we don't recognize the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Scripture says in, can't remember, Corinthians, I believe, there's no temptation that has come upon you, but that which is common to man, and God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand, but with the temptation, he will provide a way out. So to sin is a direct act of disobedience. You have the power to say no. We have the power to say no. When Christ and the Holy Spirit is freely flowing through you, you have the ability to say no to sin. Just the opposite of what the church teaches. Just the opposite of what they teach in church. I sin every day. Oh, I'm just a sinner. Sin every day. Well, we're not supposed to be. Whoever's born of God doesn't commit sin. Doesn't. But we know that if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. The point I think that he's making here, somebody can step in and say whatever you want. I think the point he's making here is I'm giving you victory over death, hell, the grave. I'm giving you victory over it. And if you're born of me, you don't sin. You don't have to sin anymore. That's what I think. That's what I think he's saying.
Not only is he saying that, but also from other words that he says that have been recorded in more than one of the Gospels, we know that when we do sin, that if we then forgive our brothers and sisters who sin against us, we're not to forgive. We don't have. We're not. It's not our power to forgive them sinning against God. But if they sin against us, if we forgive their sins against us, then God will forgive us our sins, all of them, the ones against the other people and the ones against Him. But if we, Jesus was very clear. He says, if you do not forgive the sins of your brothers against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive you your sins. Now, that's not what Larry's saying. That's what the Word of God says.
Okay, listen. Let somebody jump in who hasn't said anything yet. Come on in.
Look at Romans 6. 6 and 6:13.
Here's what I get there, Jerry. Now, listen, I want you guys to hear me. We have to be careful, and I'm not twisting scripture. I don't want to be like Matthew Vines was yesterday, finding a reason to be able to have sex with a man, okay? I'm not trying to do that. That happens sometimes when we pick and choose scriptures, okay? We have to keep them all in context, so we have to be careful with it. Where'd you say to go, Lindo? I'm sorry. Romans 6, what?
6:6 and 6:13.
For if we have been planted, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And in knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Serve sin. That's, I like that one. And in 13, Lindo, he said, wait a minute, 7, for he that is done, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I died. Nevertheless, I live. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead.
Too much truth.
There we go. For the verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Hang on.
You can't read what we've just gone over and not understand the lack of this teaching in church today. The church teaches, we are a hospital. Come in here, and we'll take care of you. Instead of, listen, you can get some victory over this stuff.
Amen.
Hey, can I tell you why I don't trust Benjamin Netanyahu? Can I tell you why I don't trust him? He ain't full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's not the Holy Spirit.
Hey, can you Coach, possibly trust
him? Yeah, Todd.
Hey, I like to look at this subject as a Christian life is a moment-by-moment way of life, and so we're called to capture every thought in obedience to Christ. So every sin starts with a thought, and if we are obedient to Christ, we're to capture those thoughts that are errant to Christ.
Amen.
Cast away, and then, but if we do decide to be disobedient, then there is a way out, 1 John 1:9, where we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and restore us back into the filling of the Holy Spirit. So I try to teach my kids that, hey, it's a moment-by-moment way of life. When you find Amen. Yourself adherent to Christ, you immediately get back in obedience to Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Have an advocate with the Father. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, right? So this is trying to help us understand that sin should not be ruling and reigning in our lives. It doesn't mean we don't sin, but it doesn't rule. It's not a way of life with us. Because why? We have the Holy Spirit. No temptations come upon us. common demand. Bear with me. I know I've opened a can of worms. I got someplace else I got to go here. Okay? Bear with me. Jared, why I say that, let's go to Galatians 2, Jared, why I say that. Hey, folks, listen. Are you looking at me? It's Jesus plus nothing else.
Amen, brother.
It's how do I help me, Lord? You're not going to go to hell if you worship on Sunday. You're not going to go to hell if you eat pork. Time out. Paul said, all things are legal, but not all things are expedient. If I eat pork, probably not the best thing to do. But it didn't block me from going to heaven. People said, well, y'all, coach, you're disobedient to the Lord. Disobedient to the Lord? I am. They said, well, yeah, back in the law of Moses. Back in the law of Moses, he laid it all down there. We're supposed to follow all that stuff. 613 different commandments in the Bible we're supposed to follow. Bear with me. Bear with me. That's Matt Tice. Matt always loves to get in there. Let me get in here. What did I say it made you mad, Matt?
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what my sticking point is about loving God? If you go back to your scripture in John 8, if you look at John 8:41, where Jesus, where the Pharisees are saying, then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God.
Right.
And what does Jesus say to him? He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now, just think about that. Here these people are trying to hate this guy. Jesus says, no. If you were of your Father in heaven, you would love me. So that's telling them to be. He should have just said that and walked away. That should have been the end of the story. Because that's our problem. You go to any church today, and you won't hear, on a normal occasion, any preacher talking about loving God. That's our number one problem in this nation, and until we change that in the church, we are in trouble. I'm not going to say we're doomed, that's what I was going to say, but we are in serious trouble if we don't begin to learn what it means to love God. What do we have to sacrifice to love God? And until we learn that, and that ought to be one of our discussions here on your show today someday, as you say, what is loving God all about?
What does it look like?
What should we be doing in our lives to love God? What physical things can we do to show God our love for him? Because that's the number one answer. When we start doing that, then everything else falls into place. Then we can actually sit down, like it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come, let us reason together. Because when we do that, Dave, that's what you're doing right here on this show. You're reasoning together with people. And when we start and reason together, if we love God, everything falls into place.
Amen, Matt. Give Matt a merit badge. Merit badge for Matt Tice. Thanks, Matt. Okay, good. Very good catch there, Matt. Good catch. Good catch. Come, bear with me. Bear with me. Oh, I'm kicking. Oh well, let's go. Let's go. Jared, I tell you, go to Galatians. Hey, my glasses broke. I get rid of that thing.
Oh dear.
Okay, here we go. Where am I? Let's go to Galatians. Jared, let's start verse 11. This is all good. Galatians, good. 2 and 3 is unbelievable. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. In other words, he ate dirty food. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And then, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with the dissimulation. In other words, he's there speaking about freedom, liberty, and then some religious folks show up, and he says, whoops, and he kind of goes and becomes religious again, if I'm reading this right. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live the way you do? He says, listen, if you're a Jew, and when you go to, when you're in Rome and you do as the Romans, so when you're with the non-believers, you act like a non-believer. But when we show up, you act like a, you act like you're a Jew. He said, what's going on here, dude? Connecting what we read just in John, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by what we eat, drink, or any of that stuff. For by the works of the law shall nobody be justified. Jesus plus nothing. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Well, God forbid, he says. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law, am dead to the law that I might live with God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ shouldn't even have died. If I could just be righteous enough and eat the right things and cut my hair the right way and wear the right clothes, then Christ didn't even have to die. Does anybody think I'm misreading this? Go to the next verse. Remember, there were no chapters in this letter. He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you get the Spirit by following the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now you want to put all those daggone laws back on top of you? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, do it, does he do it by the law, or does he do it by the hearing of faith? And even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Ugh. Now, hang on. I, but me, this is me talking. You don't have to agree with me. I hate lobster. And I think it's probably best for people not to eat lobster. Paul said all things are lawful, but not everything's good for you.
I got to get off, Coach. You don't like raw lobster. I'm sorry, bro.
Or even worse, those things you call crawfish that ain't even fish.
Hey now. Right. They ain't nothing but a baby lobster. That's all they are.
So here's what I'm asking, okay? I've received, Christ has delivered me from the law, sin and death, right? He put all this stuff. I've been crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Is it now Jesus plus continue to follow these laws? Or is it this? Follow all these laws and you don't need Jesus? Or is it a combination of the two? So if the Lord said, the law of Moses said not to eat bacon, am I under that law?
Nope.
Because
no.
Because see, Paul says, called them foolish Galatians. He said, why would you go back and put those laws back on you? I just delivered you from that. Why would you do that? And they say, well, you want to do it because you love the Lord. Like Matt said, you love the Lord. So therefore you want to obey the Lord and please the Lord. And, you know, after all, it's his body. Okay. So then do I have to keep every dietary law? Do I have to keep all 613 laws? Do you understand that then you fall into the pattern of thinking you are more righteous because you don't eat bacon? You're more righteous. You say, oh, coach, no, that's not my attitude. Well, yes, it is. You may not see it, but that's your attitude. And when the Holy Spirit guides me into all truth, when the Holy Spirit impresses upon me the importance of not eating pork, I'll obey it. But right now, I'm into it up to my ears. Somebody help me.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
You know, Pam and I, we were just up in Spokane, Washington, visiting my dad, who's 83, and we're going to be putting him in an assisted living place. And, you know, every time I get around my dad, we want to do things for him because we love him, not because he's listed 20 commandments that says you have to do this, you have to do that. It's out of a love, and it's just, to me, it's no different with eating. You know, today's modern version of back then eating pork and bacon and lobster and all that, how about this? How about people eating GMO foods? Well, you know, that's not going to send you to hell, but I can promise you this, it's going to cause health issues in you.
It's not expedient, right. Is it?
God doesn't want us serving him because he gave us 20 rules to follow. He wants our hearts.
George, can I cut to the chase? Can I cut to the chase?
Yeah.
Okay. I know people who are, they wear Hebrew symbols. They don't shave. They don't eat pork. They keep the Sabbath. They keep the feast. And any one of them ever been to an abortion clinic?
Wow. Good point.
You get my point?
Yep.
And I wonder if the Lord's sitting up there. See, if we're justified by works, we got to be careful. If the Lord's sitting up there, is he looking down at these babies being slaughtered and saying, oh, well, phew, at least they're not eating fish.
Amen, coach.
Yeah, amen.
They're teaching kids. They're teaching kids to have anal sex with each other in kindergarten. But look at these folks over here. Woo-wee. They're not eating any pork. Woo, those are my folks. I'm sorry.
Hey, coach. Can I share an enlightenment? I did a study on this, and my wife is right here, and so I know she would verify this. We take some of the things that we read in the Old Testament, and we make them spiritual. Literally, we do not realize that when we're talking about where the Lord talks about quarantining in a home, when he talks about going down to the running waters with ashes of blood of the heifer and the hyssop, which is actually an antibacterial running water cleansing these things and quarantining, is because there was bacteria even back then that man did not even realize until the 1600s. But we turned that into some spiritual ceremony. And God is like, are you kidding me? This is just simple thing that the eye does not see.
And Dale, we have to also understand that. Lord, just let me understand this better so I can explain it better. See, remember this, folks. the whole idea of the Abraham seed was to get a perfect seed through.
Right.
Did Jesus follow all the dietary laws? Yes. Yes. Because there was a perfect sacrifice, a perfect seed coming through. And Jesus came on the earth and he followed all the rules, all the regulations, did everything. And so that when they put him on the cross, he was dying not for his sins, but for the sins of the world. If Jesus had violated one of those, then the wages of sin is death. His death would have been for his own sin. But he had to follow every one of those dietary laws, every one of those ceremonial laws. He followed every one of them so that when he stood before his Father, he was innocent. And then the laws, the sins of the world will be able to put upon him because he had none of his own. So he showed, see, this can in fact do it. And after he made it through and he hung on a cross, he said, it's finished. That old man-made tradition of the elders, those laws are done away with. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except. That's the way I read it.
Coach.
And I think. Yeah.
He said he came to fulfill the law. When he said he was finished, he had fulfilled it.
He had fulfilled it. Yeah, Glenn?
We're so busy trying to worship the traditions that we have no time to worship the truth.
We're trying to make ourselves holy. We're trying to appear holy.
Right.
And they're not righteous. No, not one.
Well, Coach, the Pharisees. Yeah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees literally took the Torah of the law, and they wrote volumes that were not the oracle of God, and they made all these other things. I mean, it gets crazy about these things. But even Jesus, when he healed the man on the Sabbath, he told him, he said, would not a man whose animal fall in a ditch, would he not help it even on the Sabbath? Or when David ate of the grain of the field, God literally, now he keeps the moral of the law, but the Levitical, the things, they were changed. He never got away from that thou shall not murder, that thou shall not commit adultery, that thou right. shall not steal. Those moral laws become even greater in the New Testament.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach, can I throw in something before you continue?
Yes. Yes.
So we're talking about Netanyahu and believing him. Shouldn't we count the 400 nukes that Israel has also?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Vinny. I'm saying the whole thing. We got to be careful because everywhere we look, I don't care whether they're Jews, I don't care whether they're Muslims, everywhere we look, we're following non-believers. Do you guys understand that? You understand that Benjamin Netanyahu is not a believer. He is not a believer.
Amen.
I don't care if he's Jewish.
Absolutely.
He's not a believer. Can we trust everything he says?
Not in Jesus Christ, he's not a believer.
So see, there, to me...
Brother, I don't trust everything I say.
Amen. So what's the point I'm making? See, what the point I am making is... Oh, Lord, this, oh, Lord, how do I say it, Lord? This glorification or putting on a pedestal of Jews. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Other than we think that's where Jesus is going. Well, Jesus is going to return there. I get that. And they said, bless those who bless Israel. Good. Who's Israel? Maybe that one. I have that one. Maybe I'll save that one for tomorrow. So here's what I hope happens. Scratch your head. Shake your... Get the cobwebs out. Read the word. And let the Lord guide you into all truth. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.